Welcome to the show. This is the Call In Podcast powered by CLNS Media. Alex Barth along with Alex Lebowitz. We got a great day of sports today. We had to get an episode out. That being said, there's a lot to watch. There's a lot to do. So probably going to be a brief episode, although we do have a lot to touch on. So very little time for pleasantries. Alex Lebowitz, how are you doing? Good or bad?
I'm doing well. I'm distracted at the moment. I got the Masters on my television, and then obviously we have some Celtics basketball, some playoffs continuing today. It's a great day for television. We'll get to that a little bit later, though.
It really is. And so my strategy, because I didn't want to get distracted, I actually have the TV behind me, so I can't see it. Although when you said that, it prompted me to look over my shoulder, and I think Tiger just hit a beautiful tee shot.
He did.
But we'll get into the Masters a little bit. I want to start with the NBA playoffs. The Celtics start today. Frankly, by the time people listen to this episode, and we're recording a little before 11 a.m. Sunday, April 14th. By the time people listen to this episode, the game will probably be over. So we're going to talk big picture about that series. But before we get to it, I want to talk about what happened Saturday night, the first night of the playoffs, because nobody is safe. And frankly, it extends to the NHL. The games we've had in the last couple of days between the Lightning going down 2-0 to the Blue Jackets, the Bruins losing that first game to Toronto, although great bounce back effort last night. And then you had the Sixers lose to the Nets, the 2-seed Raptors lose to the Magic, and the 2-seed Nuggets lose to the Spurs. This is fun, specifically in the NBA, because dare I say, Lebowitz, a little bit of parity in the National Basketball League? Could it be?
It's really wild to consider this, because that's been the one gripe against the NBA over the past, we'll call it, five seasons. You know who's going to be in the NBA Finals. It's going to be a one, right, maybe
the one top seed that won last night is that team. That would be the Golden State Warriors.
And we know that they're going to win it. So that still hasn't really, we haven't escaped that. Maybe after this offseason when KD inevitably leaves and goes to, I don't know, the Knicks or something, that will end, that long dynasty will end. But it's nice to at least see a round one that's not completely predictable. And I think specifically in the Eastern Conference, it's the one consolation of not having a clear-cut top dog. And that's the one benefit for a team like the Celtics that had a lackluster season. And to put it nicely, didn't play as well as probably they should have. And it's pretty much an open field. And now the Western Conference, it's nice to see San Antonio beat the Nuggets like they did, which was a big upset. But we do know who's coming out of that conference.
Yeah.
So either way, it's been an enjoyable playoff for the NBA, what has been so far.
Well, so let me ask you this then, because this is kind of what I was thinking about last night. These are the thoughts that, run through my head as I'm trying to fall asleep. The Nets beat the Sixers, the Magic beat the Raptors. Which one of those upsets do you think is for real? Which one of those series do you think that win could actually carry over and we could see an upset in the first round?
Definitely the Nets. I like that team. They have a couple playmakers. And I just look at the Sixers, and they get a lot of crap, and for good reason.
I mean, the cell phone thing was hilarious.
That was brutal.
So bad.
I mean, and who was it? Amir Johnson who was showing?
Amir Johnson said he was like checking on a sick kid or something.
Okay.
But that's like Anthony Davis saying he has no control over his wardrobe. We know what Pablo Sandoval was doing when he was on his phone on the bench a couple of years. What was that, like 3-4 years ago now? Like, if he was checking on a sick kid, good for him. But that's a little too convenient of an excuse.
Could probably wait.
I
don't think he is the kid's emergency call, emergency contact. So I just look at that Sixers team, and they get a crap for good reason. I mean, they got a lot of guys who – really good talents, but my God, they just are dumb. They could be really stupid and just, bad competitors. Ben Simmons at the end of the game telling fans, Philadelphia fans who booed, to, stay on that side. Do you know anything about the city of Philadelphia? Like, I honestly, you were drafted there. You've been there for a few years now. I know this is your third rookie season, but do you know anything about the fans of the team in which you play for? You can't say that to them, because it's just going to make it worse. So I look at this Nets loss yesterday, Sixers loss to the Nets. That could be for real. Absolutely could be for real, especially when you look at a team that, in my opinion, is as mentally weak as the 76ers.
So I'm actually not ruling out the other one either, the Raptors and the Magic. And that's more about the Raptors. I don't think the Magic are a great team. They have some nice pieces, certainly. When you have Aaron Judge playing power forward, you know that, right? Aaron Gordon and Aaron Judge are like the same human being.
They look a lot alike.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The Raptors, they just always kind of collapse this time of year, and it's not necessarily in the first round, but Kyle Lowry in general has been a focal point for that. You know, Kyle Lowry can't play in the playoffs. He puts up an egg last night.
Oh, that's brutal.
And now they don't have DeMar DeRozan. I mean, sure, they have Kawhi, and he has experience, and that's fair, and he played well last night, but just I don't know that he's going to carry the rest of that roster. I mean, it's just – it's something about that team. It's something in the water. I don't know what it is, but they always drop off in April. And, you know, I thought maybe they'd get to the second round. I thought they'd beat the Magic, but – maybe not. You know, Orlando looked – I didn't get to watch the whole game last night. I watched maybe half of it. But what I saw, Orlando looked relatively impressive. The moment clearly wasn't too big for them. They had no problem going on the road. So, you know, it's an interesting one to keep an eye on for me.
Yeah, and that's a tough environment. Toronto's built up a pretty good fan base for basketball. It's a tough place to play. At least it looks like
it. Oh, yeah,
it.
No, I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And you had DJ Augustine at the end of the game with that three-pointer, and he had way too much space in front of him. He was 9-for-13. From the field, 4-for-5 from beyond the arc. That guy showed up to play. I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain that for the next potentially, you know, 6 games.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard did all that he could. He played really well down the stretch. He made a couple of huge shots. Wasn't enough. And Kyle Lowry, even though he did have that goose egg, he was plus 11. And I know plus minus is a deceptive one, but that led his team. And I think that is worth noting. Don't know why. I mean, he had a lot of rebounds, a lot of assists. But I do think they'll pick it up. I think the Raptors will end up winning the series. I just don't know if DJ Augustine can sustain that type of performance. And he was really the focal point for the Magic. He was the reason they won, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I do think that there's a chance the Magic make that a series, and there's a chance that they can take it 7 games, maybe even win. Because, you know, after all, the Raptors do have that reputation. But for me, I'm putting my money on the Nets for you know, a potential
between
upset.
Between those two, sure.
Between those two.
All right, let's get to the Celtics now. I kind of want to keep it, you know, aside from game one, obviously, because, you know, by the time people listen to this, I'm guessing this will be a Monday morning listen. But, you know, here we go. We went through this whole season of a black hole of nothing, of misery, and the whole thing was they can flip the switch. They can flip the switch. They're going to get to the playoffs. They're going to be a different team. And then all of a sudden, before you even get to it, Marcus Smart's going to be out 2 rounds. We might not even see Marcus Smart again this season. We might never see Marcus Smart again in a Celtics uniform if some of the indications are true regarding Anthony Davis, but that's, you know, a discussion for later this summer. I'm legitimately worried about the Celtics in this series. I know the Pacers don't have Victor Oladipo. I know they haven't been the same team since then. That's fine. The Celtics, I think, would have a better chance against a guy like Victor Oladipo because they play better against the teams where the offense funnels through one player. Where they have trouble is against these teams where, you know, it's kind of spread out. Anybody can hurt you. And the guy I'm really looking at is Miles Turner, because how many times, Lebowitz, have you heard me go off on rants about how the Celtics do not care about rebounding your inside defense? And I think Miles Turner is one of the most, if not the most underrated player in the NBA. I think he is a force on the inside, and I think that he's going to be able to pick the Celtics apart. Now, if Al Horford's guarding him, maybe that lessens it a little bit. Al does tend to bring it in the playoffs. But when Horford's off the floor, I don't know how the Celtics match up with Miles Turner. If Baines gets into foul trouble, they're going to be in a lot of hell, the Celtics are. And I just don't know that they're built to contain a team that's going to run their offense through that guy.
Yeah, I think for them to really blow it open and have a chance of controlling the series, they're going to have to hit their shots from beyond
them
the arc.
Being the Celtics?
Yes,
okay, I'm just making sure. Yeah,
yeah. So they have to hit their shots from beyond the arc, and that's big, especially when you consider that one of the biggest playmakers on that team is Miles Turner, who controls the paint. And I don't know if Al Horford will be enough to really, you know, to stunt that to a major level.
He did take, to be fair to Al, he did take care of Joel Embiid last year, and
yep.
Embiid is a better player, I think, than Turner. At least he is right now. I'm not saying Horford can't do it. But when Horford's off the floor, or if they can work switches or whatever, like that's the matchup for me to watch. If the Celtics can contain Miles Turner, I think they'll be all right. I still think it'll be a tough series. But if Miles Turner comes out in game one and puts up huge numbers, that's a huge red flag for me.
Yeah, and I think we will kind of get a feel of what the Celtics are going to do this series in game one. Obviously, we're recording this before that. You'll probably be listening to it after that. But we'll find out. I do think that Marcus Smart not playing is huge because he does add that spark. Usually Brad Stevens can do more with less. But Marcus Smart's one of those guys who is the less, you know, if that makes any sense.
I think that's a perfect way to put it.
So when you remove him from that roster, from that equation, who's going to fill that void? Rozier's a guy who showed up last year, especially at home in the playoffs. Maybe he can step up. I honestly don't think the Celtics will have that big of a problem with the Pacers. I'm picking them to come out of the series on top. I think this, especially when you consider Victor Oladipo is going to be out. That's huge. I mean, that's a big break, and he's way more valuable to that team than Marcus Smart is to the Celtics. So I see the Celtics coming out of this series on top. That said, we saw the Nets upset the Sixers yesterday. We saw the Magic upset.
Well, it's 4-5. Is it even really an upset?
It wouldn't be an upset. That's the thing. So it could go either way. We'll see. This team didn't really show you a lot during the regular season. So would I bet the house on the Celtics? No, but I think they got the edge.
And I'll say this about Marcus Smart. That one of the things that worries me most about Marcus Smart being out is not actually Marcus Smart related. It just means to me there's going to be a lot more minutes for Terry Rozier. And Terry Rozier has spent this entire season trying to recapture the Scary Terry magic from last playoffs, right? When he was arguably he might have been the biggest name in the NBA for a 2 or 3 week span around this time last year. I don't think that's too much of a stretch to say. And I think he's tried to recapture that all season. And he's not, because that was him at the very tippy top of his game. And it's not something I think he'll ever be able to do again for an extended period of time. It's just not the guy he is. So are you going to get Terry Rozier coming out on the floor and putting up, you know, 4 shots in his first 5 trips down? My biggest worry is that, you know, with that second unit, Terry Rozier is going to come out and put up like a minus 20, a minus 30. So, and that's a bit of an exaggeration, but which Terry Rozier are we getting? Are we getting a controlled Terry Rozier that is going to, you know, shoot and create offense because that's what he does, but also distribute the ball and work in the system? Or are we going to get the Terry Rozier from the playoffs last year when he had to be the guy, right? And it was fine when he did it last year because that's what they needed him to do. They don't need him to do that anymore. Can he recognize the situation and rise to it? That's a huge question for me because he has not done that at all this year.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. You have Kyrie Irving on the court with him this season. He had to be the guy last year, even with a guy like Marcus Smart there. Your best player was not on the court, and he showed up. Will he be able to mesh in the system and maybe take a step back instead of trying to prove his individual worth? He tries to prove the collective worth and you know, fit into this system, which he hasn't done a fantastic job, to put it lightly, of doing this year. So we'll see. I think the biggest takeaway, though, with today and just the start of the playoffs for the Celtics is this is the time where you really find out the future of this organization. This is arguably the biggest series, the biggest, you know, span of time this next few weeks.
Yeah.
The Celtics have had in the past 5 years, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Because this could blow it all up, or this could keep Kyrie here and keep this team as constructed in Boston for a while if they actually do what you know Marcus Smart has been hoping they do and go on a run which inspires a 10 years down the road. So we'll see. I'm excited. I got a lot of question marks. I'm not overly confident, but again, given the fact that this Eastern Conference is as wide open as it is, anything could happen, and that includes the Celtics making it to the NBA Finals.
And that soliloquy seems like a good way to close that up. Well done, sir. Let's get into the final thoughts here before we wrap it up. Lebitz, you want to go first?
Yeah, it's just the greatest day of television, you know, I think of the year. And I just think if it turned out this way, obviously we have the NBA playoffs on, the Celtics starting, the Masters. But we also have, and the Red Sox, of course, playing the Orioles. Who can forget?
They gave up 3 hits to Chris Davis. I need like a week off from this team after.
You know what? I'm happy for him.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm happy for him. And he knew it was going to be the Red Sox, but did it have to be the Red Sox?
You know? It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
More importantly, though, tonight, Game of Thrones. The season finale, or the final season of the series, starts tonight. I think it's 8 episodes. And just to let you know how excited I am, I'll preface it by saying this. I binge watched this show for about 2 months. I watched it at a ridiculously high rate, which was awesome because I think I understand the storyline better than most people who have watched the show and had to wait every season for it to begin again. I just watched it straight through. It was awesome. And I literally caught up last week. So it's like perfect. It times out perfectly. But I'm so excited for this. This show starts at 9 o'clock. I'm staying up to watch it.
Wow.
And that
means a lot.
That means a lot. The only other television event I'll stay up to watch are, you know, playoff events.
Right.
So I'll be doing that for the next few weeks. I just came to this realization that the month of April is going to be brutal for me, depending on how deep the Celtics and Bruins go into the postseason. Because there's going to be a lot of late nights. I'm going to be very loopy in the morning and on the podcast. So I'm excited for Game of Thrones. I just cannot wait. It lived up to the hype. I wasn't on the train for a while. Then I started watching it, and I begrudgingly was like, yeah, this might be better than Breaking Bad. So incredible show. If you haven't watched it, get into it. It's amazing. Can't wait for tonight. Can't wait for the Masters today. Obviously, it's going to be awesome.
So I've never seen Game of Thrones, never watched it, really didn't have any interest. I'm actually going to be at a wedding today, so I'm missing all these great events. But we're all coming back after the wedding to start the after party. Everybody else wants to watch this episode, so I'm going to be watching it with all these diehard fans. I've never seen any of it. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
So do you plan on ever watching it in the future?
Maybe. I don't know.
So I'd stay clear, man. You don't want any spoilers.
I want to hang out with everybody.
I get it.
Well, speaking of spoilers, the interesting thing I saw about it, if you go to spoilers.io for 99 cents, they will text spoilers to people in your contact list immediately after the episode ends for each episode this season. Sounds like some fun to me.
And that's part of the reason I'm watching it tonight.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah.
I got a couple friends who were like, listen, if you don't come and watch it with us, I'm texting you first thing in the morning, spoiler, the entire episode. And I was like, damn it. So I feel like I'm being held hostage to watch these shows. And the thing that's going to die is my, you know, my energy level.
You can sleep when you're dead. Yeah. I got three final thoughts, so I'll kind of be quick on them. But I really couldn't decide because there is so much going on this weekend. The Masters, obviously, it would be great to see Tiger win. He's competing. The question is, you know, since he started this comeback – right around the end of day three is when he starts to fade. He still has the abilities, but physically, can he play four rounds of golf? We'll see if this is the one. I don't know. And I don't know if he can catch Molinari. This kid came out of nowhere, won it last year, and he's putting together a hell of a round again this year. He's been great. And I don't know if you saw the video Phil Mickelson posted driving up to Augusta yesterday, talking about hitting bombs and taking a swipe at Matt Kuchar and all that. We need more of that from golf. Like, that's what's going to do a lot for the sport. So those are my Masters thoughts. Boston Marathon tomorrow, one of the best days of the year. Absolutely love it. Unfortunately, the weather, I think, is supposed to be crap. But a best of luck to everybody who's running it. My cousin Daniel Lifter is running it, so, you know, especially good luck to him. But it's tough to explain to people not from Boston what the marathon means kind of to the area and the people. But it's just – it's always just a tremendous day. There's going to be playoff games going on after and, you know – it's just going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. And do you have a marathon take real quick?
I mean, I'm not huge into the marathon. I think it's a great event. Simply,
but like the day itself, the pageantry around it is more so.
You know, I love the 11 a.m. I used to go to every Patriots Day game back when
I've always wanted to do that. I've never
been. Great school. Well, I had a buddy who, my best friend growing up, his family would go and they'd invite me every year. So, you know, in Massachusetts and I think in Maine as well, they get Patriots Day off, which is a unique thing to this region alone. Which was great. It's a nice little breakup. Although I think there's a lot of schools that are going to be on spring break this week.
They normally line it up as like the first Monday of school vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an awesome event. I love going to those games. It is a really great day in Boston, and it's nice because, you know, you can either qualify to run in the marathon or you have to raise like $10,000 to run. Yeah. And it's my brother's doing it next year. Actually, he's not doing it this year. Next year he's doing it. And it's a great cause, great event. I would never, ever, ever run in it because you have to be a lunatic to do that.
First of all, you have to get up at like 6 a.m. That right there, I'm like, nope.
Well, that's sleeping in for me, but that's not what's deterring me. It's the physical toll that it takes on your body and the fact that I'd probably, you know, pass out by mile 10.
So you mentioned raising the money to run. CLNS Media's Nick Qualia is running in it too for, I want to say, Mass, ear, nose, and throat, or whatever it is.
Ear, and eye.
Mass ear and eye. Yeah, mass, ear, and eye. Thank you. You know, good luck to Nick too. My final thought is that a good friend of mine from high school is getting married this weekend. So, you know, John and Sarah, all the best. And you know, I'm looking forward to being a part of it tonight. And congratulations to John and Sarah. I don't know if you have a take on that you want to share.
How old are they?
25. Yeah.
Suckers. No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations to them.
And I guess we'll close it on that note here. So that'll do it for us. This episode, we'll have an episode at some point next week. Bruins or Celtics, maybe a little bit of both. We'll probably won't talk. The Red Sox are kind of doing what they're doing. We'll wait to really dissect that until we're done with the playoffs. But until the next episode, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Calling the Podcast. Check us out online at clnsmedia.com. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.